Welcome to A Glorious Call in Ezekiel 2, looking at Ezekiel's call and the call of mothering. I want to say happy, or let me rephrase that. Not that I want you to have an unhappy Mother's Day, but let me say have a meaningful Mother's Day, because there may be happy parts, there may be unhappy parts. But may you have a meaningful Mother's Day as you take the emotions and whatever that day brings, whatever this day brings, and put it in God's hands and offer it to Him. How about I pray for us as we start from Psalm 19 and ask you to pray with me. May the words of my mouth and our mouth as we go from here, the meditations of our heart right now, Lord, be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer, our glorious God. This we pray in your name. Amen. I'm going to start by thinking about a glorious call isn't always very glamorous. Think of mothering and think of Ezekiel. Mothering for a moment. Actually giving birth is not that glamorous. I've seen two live births. The constant caring that goes on with mothering, the cleaning up and maybe even the re-cleaning, it's exhausting, often has little gratitude, they're long hours and low pay, not that glamorous. Thinking of Ezekiel, you might think being a prophet or a priest that he was, that sounds glamorous, but really his situation wasn't that glamorous. He was exiled. He had to do and play out some wild charades. He spent over a year just drinking basic bread and water. That was poo bread, by the way. And speaking a word to ignorant people, hard-hearted. Not that glamorous. But both are glorious callings because they're God-honoring, they're God-given, and they glorify Him when they're done in His strength. Now, Ezekiel means, you ever wondered what Ezekiel means? Well, ask his mother. Well, we have an Ezekiel in the ABCH family, and I met the parents of another Ezekiel last week, and they might be able to tell you that Ezekiel means God strengthens, or God is strength. And we can give God great glory and do great things in His name. And that's a glorious call. And when you think of Jesus' life, and when you think of Jesus' death, it was far from glamorous, but it was a glorious life, and certainly was a glorious life. Now, I'm going to give you the Ezekiel Express to catch you up to date if you missed last week. Ezekiel, and here we go, we're getting on Express, is in 597 BC. That's about 600 years before Christ. King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, he captured the king of Israel, Jehoiachin, and he exiled him with thousands of others, including Ezekiel, 800 kilometers away to Babylon. Now, 5 years later, God gives Ezekiel a vision. In the place where he is in exile, he sees the likeness of God's glory in Ezekiel 1. That's a glorious vision. And we had the challenge of whether we see the Lord on his throne. And that's a perfect time to actually think about that. And if he is on the throne, then how are we going to bring him glory? Because 1 Corinthians 10 reminds us, whatever you do, and we're thinking about this for the term, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Well, as you get to the end of Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel shows us the glory of God and thinking about that, but it also gives us hope for the future, particularly from Ezekiel 33 onwards to 48, when the future is in God's hands. Now, it's not a very glamorous situation for Ezekiel, but it is a glorious call, and it's a glorious vision, Ezekiel 1. And now we have a glorious call, Ezekiel 2. Now, Ezekiel's call is similar to Isaiah's. And if you were to look in Isaiah 6, you'll see there is a vision, and he sees a throne, he sees winged creatures, very similar to Ezekiel, and a similar ministry in terms of the people he's speaking to and their hard-heartedness. But Isaiah is 100 plus years before Ezekiel. He's similar to Jeremiah the prophet, but Jeremiah was back in the homeland where Ezekiel is preaching to people in the foreign land. His people in the foreign land. Maybe it's most similar to Daniel, the prophet Daniel. But he's not a priest like Ezekiel. Daniel was one of the king's elite, and he was trained in the elite noble line. But let's have a look at Ezekiel 2. And as you have a look there with me and read along with me, I'll just read the first two verses. It says, "He said to me, 'Son of man, stand up on your feet, and I will speak to you.' As he spoke, the Spirit came into me and raised me to my feet, and I heard him speak to me." Two things to note there as we start. He is called the Son of Man. That's a unique title to Ezekiel and the Old Testament. There are exceptions in Daniel, but 90 plus times in Ezekiel, it is referring to him and his fragility, his weakness as a human. And that is contrast to God's majesty and his might. Also notice there that it's the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God, God's Spirit at work in his life. And it's the same Spirit that is work in our life, in the ones that entrust themselves to him. He lifts him up here, literally, because he is flat on his face in awe of God's glory. And then from verse 3, we have the commissioning service. And it was the most difficult commissioning. Listen to this commission here. He said, "Son of man, I am sending you to the Israelites, to a rebellious nation that have rebelled against me. They and their fathers have been in revolt against me this very day. The people to whom I am sending you are obstinate and stubborn. Say to them, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says.' And whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them and their words. Do not be afraid, though briars and thorns are all around you, and you live among scorpions. Do not be afraid of what they say or terrified by them, though they are a rebellious house. You must speak my word to them, whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are rebellious. But you, son of man, listen to what I say to you. Do not rebel like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you." Well, as you hear that, you could be thinking it's feeding time for a toddler, or it's parenting teenagers, or it's ministry to Australians in the 21st century. But let me highlight three phrases for us before we look at applying some of this to our life today. First one that is mentioned once, at the end there it said, he says to Ezekiel, "Do not rebel." In contrast to what he says about the people, he calls him not to rebel. Now he calls, the call is from God. This is a God-given task. It's like mothering It's like ministry. If God has got you there, it may be tough. It may get very tough. But look to Him for strength. And He gives strength by His Spirit. He may call you to another place, like He did for me of recent times, from Anglican to Baptist circles. But eat what He has for you and eat the meal that He has for you. Now, Ezekiel had to eat actually a scroll, which it says there. And he was to do this in love and in obedience, which was the call on his life, not to rebel from this. And in Psalm, as I take us back to Psalm 19, which I started praying with, it says there, the ordinance of the Lord are sure and altogether right. They are most precious than gold, more than pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. See, in keeping the call of the Lord, there is great reward. Do not rebel is the first thing to notice. Secondly, which is mentioned twice, he says, I am sending you. And this idea of sentness, this is a biblical principle. This is actually a Jesus principle. He says, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. That is from John 20. This is a principle that we picked up as a church in Evangelism Shift. And if God sends, then He will equip. Now, it takes trust. And recently, we have all been actually sent back to our streets, back to our homes in this isolation time. And it is not without purpose or out reason. So do you know your sentness at this time? That's a glorious principle to live your life by and something to think after this day. Well, that is the second thing to notice. The third thing to notice, which is mentioned three times, is do not be afraid. Now, often angels say this. The first thing they say to people that they bring a message to is don't be afraid. Jesus says this to his followers at different times and to people that he meets who come to him, because fears can overtake you, but faith can overcome. Faith in Jesus can overcome all sorts of obstacles. Ezekiel is called not to fear, but to have faith. And Ezekiel called, but what's, that's Ezekiel's call that we looked at, but what is your call? Let's finish off with that. Your call. Well, we're actually all called. We're called to the glorious rescue or the salvation plan that God has. All called by His grace and the gift that He has to a glorious future with God, to those that trust in Jesus and His rescue plan. Now, all are called to this. And if you haven't responded, you've resisted, maybe you've been slow in answering, your heart has been slow, you've been rebellious in your response, today is an opportunity to respond to God's call and accept the gift that He has for you. If you have accepted that gift and that call upon your life, you may need to return to trusting Him to those that have. Let me tell you, it's not a glamorous road. He says, if you're going to follow after me, and he calls people to follow him, you must deny yourself, take up your cross. That's Mark 8 we've looked at recently. But it is a road to glory. So that's the first thing, we're all called. Secondly, we all have a calling. This idea of vocation, which is a Latin word for calling. Now, Martin Luther in the 16th century was a monk. And this monk tried to say that clergy and lay people are the same in their work. He was working against the tides in the time and start of the Reformation. And he says this, this is a quote from him, "The works of a monk, which he was, and priests, however holy or arduous they may be, do not differ one whit in sight of God from the works of the rustic labourer in the field, or a woman going about her household task. All works are measured before God by faith alone." That was one of the marking principles of Luther, was faith alone. And it's in your job and your vocation or whatever God's call you, doing it in faith. Now, we all have a calling from God, those that have come to him, and that is a specific thing rather than the general call to all. We need more time to actually consider this, but let me just point out two things, prophecy and mothering, as we finish. Prophecy, and when I think of prophecy, I think in Ezekiel's sense as an Old Testament prophet bringing the word of God and the call of God. He was chosen out of a few people to do that. Similar to a church sense of prophecy, someone who is to bring the word of God to the people, like I'm doing now, or the common sense of prophecy. I call it the common sense, which is a word of God to others that don't have the word of God or won't hear the word of God. Now, it's very easy at this point to be afraid, but let me tell you a story of a lady who did this even in aged care, and this lady who's gone to be in glory with the Lord this week. Aged care, she has a care package and a carer on the week before lockdown. Part of her care package, her carer took along to church, and she had opportunities to converse with her carer and share with him about the glorious hope that she had. So you can even bring the word of God to people who don't know it in this frail state which this woman was in. Not a very glamorous state, but a glorious call and a calling of people into glory. And lastly, to think of mothering. Mothering, and some people are mothering in the literal sense. That's they have children or they have grandchildren, they have foster children, they have stepchildren. Or surrogate sense, that you're mothering of a class of children or a sporting or coaching a sporting team. Some stage, not right now, obviously. Or you're a surrogate grandmother or mother. But there's also a mothering in the sense of a spiritual sense, which is a very meaningful task, asking tough questions, but encouraging someone on their journey of growth with the Lord. Now, all these mothering senses may not seem very glorious. They're slow, they're costly, they're time-consuming. They're not very glamorous, but are glorious because they're God-given and God-ordained. So may God give us the strength and this sense of prophecy or this sense of mothering can transfer to fathering as well, literally, surrogately, or in a spiritual sense. But may God give us the strength to work in us by his Spirit to be those people he has called us to be. And may his Spirit direct us in that this day. God bless you and amen.